Hey, New Life family and friends, hey, I just want to welcome you back to another great weekend of New Life Church Online. Thank you for coming and joining us and worshiping with us in this way. I want to remind you that you can continue to worship by way of your giving, and we have many ways that you can give here at New Life Church. Of course, you can give online. You can even set up automated payments like my wife and I choose to do when we pay our tithe, or you can send it in the mail. You can mail in your tithe and offering to 1803 East Vale Avenue right here in Kokomo, Indiana. Or you can also text the word New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977, and you can give in that way as well. I just want to thank you for your generosity. It is helping make a difference and is helping continue the ministry of your church. And I want to give a big shout out to our food pantry dream team. You know what? They were serving people this week. They were giving out fresh fruits and vegetables to people that are in need and have a food deficiency. I just want to thank you guys for all of your efforts, all of your hard work in doing that. I commend you for taking care of the needs of people in our community. Well, a few weeks ago, we started a new series. The series is called One Another. The idea is we're going to be looking at the different one another statements in Scripture. There's over 100 of these one another statements in the New Testament. 59 of those are direct commands of how we can relate or not relate to one another. So we're going to be looking at some of these. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the phrase, love one another. And so if you haven't seen that, I encourage you to jump online and see our sermon archive. You can get caught up in this series. Because last week, then, we talked about encouraging one another. And I hope you were encouraged. And I hope that you got courage deep down inside of you last week. And you're ready to do something crazy, courageous, and audacious in your faith. And so you can catch up with that message online as well. But today we're going to look at the words of Jesus, and we're going to look at the idea of one another, but about judging one another. We're going to look at this. Now, I want to have a little bit of fun with ourselves, because during kind of this uncertain time, COVID-19 and being quarantined, you know, we all are kind of maybe going a little bit of stir crazy. We're all kind of like doing weird things, and it's just a different life right now. But I want to look at some funny memes about our quarantine, about our COVID-19 life the last few weeks. So let's take a look at some of these. And so just laugh with me here. You know, when you find out your daily lifestyle is actually called quarantine. Shout out to all my introverted friends out there. No judging. No judging. We're not judging one another here. We're not judging you either. Or how about this? When you leave your family to go and get supplies, you know, you feel like you've got to run out in the battlefield, and I hope I come back alive. All right? Look at this. No, this is funny. Due to the shelter in place and the 45 times I've cleaned my home, I've extended the 5-second rule to 7 days. Oh, we're all going to gain that quarantine 15. I know I am. Pam from the office. This is how emotional I'm going to get my first time back at restaurants. And she says, and I feel God in this Chili's tonight. I can really go for some Chili's chips and salsa right now. This is funny. Me. This show is boring. My boss. Again. This is a Zoom conference call. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, Denny's always open. Denny's is closed. No judging, though. No judging. And, this is, come on, HGTV, help me, help me. This week on House Hunters, husband, $1,200 stimulus check. Wife, $1,200 stimulus check. Budget, $3.69 million. I need some of this HGTV magic, man. I need some of this in my life. Oh, that's great. Amazon, your package will be delivered on Wednesday. Me, when is that? Hey, no judging. If you lose track of time, if you don't even know what day it is today, no judging. Well, I completely understand you. And this one triggers me a little bit. Look, this is cutting your own hair in lockdown. I'm about ready to rock one of these COVID cuts right now because I am desperate for a haircut. My wife's about to cut it. And so, sorry, Mr. President, of using this Photoshopped picture of you, but that is some funny stuff right there. So, no judging at all. No judging. If you're rocking a COVID cut, no judging. It's okay. And so we're going to look at this idea of judging one another. And let's just jump into our scripture. In Romans 14, 13, it says this. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. And we can just almost hang it up right there on that. Just stop it. Stop it, Paul is saying. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother and sister. You know what that stumbling block is? That obstacle is? It is an obstacle that blocks their way to get to Jesus. When we are passing judgment on other people, it is a stumbling block to people living their best life, walking, finding Jesus. That's what it is. And so today I want to look at the words of Jesus that he spoke at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 about when he was talking directly about this idea of judging. And then I want to unpack the idea of judging and what it meant to a Hebrew person. Because Jesus, we know he was a Jewish rabbi and he was speaking to other Jews. And so there's sayings in there that would have meant something to them then and there that if we unpack, it will apply to us here and now. We'll still get Matthew chapter 7. These are the words of Jesus, and he's saying this. He's saying, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be what? Measured back to you. So if you're going to judge, be willing to be judged, is what Jesus is saying. And this would have meant something to the Jewish Hebrew culture in which Jesus was giving this message. Because in the Hebrew culture, there was really two kinds of people. And if you can grasp this, it'll change the way you read your Bible. It will really open up your mind and see things in another light. It will just continue to, God will just reveal more truth to you. If you can catch this, there was two kinds of people in the Hebrew culture. You were either firstborn or you were secondborn. Now, that sounds very simple. So what, if you were firstborn, guess what? You were firstborn. If you're secondborn, that means that you're not. So if you're secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, fifthborn, 12thborn, 13thborn, God bless your parents, but you would be considered a secondborn. And the reasoning for this is this is how we would kind of define firstborn, secondborn, is that firstborn gets justice and secondborn gets mercy. I want you to catch that. Firstborns always get justice. Secondborns always get mercy. And so if you're firstborn, you then would be responsible to even receive the punishment for something one of your siblings would have done. I know, that's just unfair. But to all of us secondborn, we're shouting you down. We're praising Jesus. We're thanking you for your sacrifice. So if you're firstborn and one of your siblings were to steal and then escape to a city of refuge, the victim of their theft could come after you, firstborn, and you would have to face the judgment for their crime. That's what a firstborn has the responsibility to do. But the firstborn also bore the responsibility of giving judgment in family matters. So if you're firstborn, you bear the weightiness of the responsibility to give judgment in family matters and to take the judgment in family matters, even if it wasn't your fault. So this idea of being firstborn, it was a heavy responsibility because you knew that you were the judge and you had to be judged in family matters. And it's even a little bit deeper than that. If you were the firstborn, firstborns get justice, secondborns get mercy. If you're firstborn, you were also considered the family's kinsman redeemer. And we know the word kin means family. And so if you were firstborn and you had four brothers, all four of your brothers had wives, because we know that at the time, the Hebrews, they were kind of polygamous people, and we're not saying that's right. We're not even saying that God said that was right, but we just know that it is what it is. That's what they did. But if on average your brothers had four wives each, and you had four brothers, if by some tragic turn of events all four of your brothers were to die, it was your job, firstborn, it was your job to then marry all of your brothers' wives. And if they hadn't had a son to carry their name, you would have to have a son with those wives. And so do you see the weightiness and the responsibility that firstborns get justice and secondborns get mercy? Now, firstborns, they also get something called the double portion. Now, I know some of you, maybe as a Christian, you've prayed, God, give me a double portion of your anointing, and that's fine. But I'm talking about a double portion of your father's inheritance. And what that means is, obviously, when the inheritance is divided out amongst the family, the firstborn would get double the amount. But that's not really something that you want. Because if you were to marry all of your brother's wives and pick up the responsibility of all of their kids, now you understand that the double portion does not go to your retirement. It doesn't buy you a boat. It doesn't go in your bank account. It goes to Target. It goes to Old Navy. It goes to the Meijer grocery store. It is the responsibility to take the justice as the firstborn. Now, I want you to think about your Bible. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam, that we're all born into the first Adam. And so we're all born where our default setting is that we deserve justice. We are born into first Adam. But Jesus came as the second Adam. In other words, when we come into Jesus, we come into an Adam, the second Adam, Jesus, that is of mercy. And so what Jesus did for us is Jesus took the punishment, he took the judgment, so that we could have the mercy. And this is what it means to be born again. Because when you're first born, and whether you're firstborn, secondborn, it doesn't matter, we're all born under Adam. We are considered firstborn and deserve justice. But Jesus came as the second Adam, and now when we are in Christ and we are born again, now we're no longer firstborn because we got to be born again. That's why when Jesus looked at Nicodemus and says, do you want to be born again? He's like, tell me how. Please tell me how, because being firstborn meant you got justice. It was a weightiness, a responsibility. So firstborns always get justice, secondborns get mercy, and now Jesus has moved all of us from the place of deserving judgment to a place of mercy. And that's what we call being born again, becoming second born. But all of this is in the context of Jesus talking right now about do not judge one another. If you're firstborn, you have to be willing to be the judge, but also be willing to be judged. So now watch this. The only righteous judge is the one who is willing to take the judgment. Are you catching this? The only righteous judge is the one who's willing to take the judgment. And I'm going to take my best guess here and guess that that is not you. Because I know that is not me. Are you willing to be a righteous judge and take the judgment that you would give? Now, I know what it's like to be a sinner. I know what it's like to cast judgment on other people, unrighteous judgment on people. And I'm not even willing to stand under the judgment that I know I have cast on other people before. And I'm willing to bet neither are you. There's only one righteous judge, only one, because there's only been one who was willing to take the judgment. His name is Jesus. Jesus took all of your judgment, bore it upon him. He took it to the cross so that he can move you from deserving judgment to now receiving mercy. So when Jesus says, do not judge lest you be judged, Hebrew people would have understood this, because if you're firstborn, you're the judged and the judged. You judge and you're judged. So he's saying, do not judge or else you'll be judged. And now do you understand? Do you understand, friend, that as followers of Jesus, it is so important that we don't judge. We don't judge other people, because there's only one righteous enough to judge that can also at the same time take the judgment on himself. You're not willing to do that. I'm not willing to do that. But I'm so thankful that we have a Savior, Jesus, who already took the judgment so we could have mercy. So now all of us are free from feeling the temptation to judge one another. It's not what we do. Now, there was three definitions for this word judge in the original language. There's three definitions for this word that is used throughout Scripture. And I want to look at some of these so that we know exactly what judge Jesus is talking about. The first to judge is to decide, distinguish, or resolve. Now, that is not what Jesus is talking about here, because I really hope that you continue to decide, distinguish, and resolve every single day. Every single day, I hope you decide, distinguish, to resolve to stop at the red light. I hope you decide, distinguish, and resolve to pay your bills. I hope you do that. That's important. We need this kind of judgment. We need to decide, distinguish, resolve. Also, this word judgment, it also means to judge in a court of law. This is not what Jesus is talking about, because we need law and order. We don't need lawlessness to take over our society. There is a need for court of law. There's need for this type of judgment. But that's not the judgment Jesus is talking about here. Now imagine with me that if you were to call 911 and you were to say, there was somebody outside my house threatening me with a weapon, and the operator on the other line says, oh no, now sir, we don't need the judge. We don't need the judge. That's obviously what we're not talking about here. There is a need for law and order, and there's a need for somebody to come and decide, distinguish, and resolve in that matter. That's not what we're talking about. But what I think Jesus is talking about is the definition of this word judge is to expose motives. To expose motives. This judging, to expose people's motives, is something that is only reserved for God, to expose the motives. It is trying to apply motives to other people's behavior, that you would try to figure out why they are the way they are, or you would try to imply motives to why they dress the way they dress, talk the way they talk, do the things they do. You're trying to imply motives to the decisions they've made, the behaviors that they have, because here's what I know, you don't like it when people do this to you. You don't like it when people imply what your motive was when you do something. You don't like that either. In 1 Corinthians 4, in the fifth verse, it even says this, therefore, judge nothing. And this judge is, the definition of that word is this, to imply motives. So therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. That's God's job. God will expose the motives of the heart. It is not for us to judge and assume motives of people's heart. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now let's look back at the words of Jesus. Let's continue. After he's talking about judging one another, what else he has to say. And in Matthew, we're back in Matthew chapter 7. He just said, don't judge lest you be judged. And then he says this. He's still talking about judging, okay? He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, hey, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank sticking out of your own eye? You hypocrite. This word hypocrite, it means, it's as though somebody in theater is wearing a mask. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Does that hurt a little bit? Can we say amen and ouch at the same time? Now, I want to give you some application to these. Number one, the first thing is this. Don't apply motives to the decisions of others. In other words, let me say it another way. Don't mix actions with essence. Don't mix somebody's actions and try to attach that to who they are. We don't need to label people by their dysfunction. You know, even in Scripture, we see this. We see the man with the withered hand, the woman with the issue of blood, the man with a legion of demons. we label people by their dysfunction. That is to imply their actions with their essence. That is not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't look at your behavior and say that that's the essence of who you are. He knows who you are. He believes in who he's created you to be. So don't apply motives to the decisions of others. The second application is this. Don't focus on the small things in others. Change the world by changing yourself. Don't focus on other small issues. Change your world by changing yourself. To change yourself is the harder of the two. Because let me tell you, it is far easier to control other people than it is to change yourself. Listen, it is easier to try to control, manipulate those around you. It is harder to dig deep and focus on changing yourself, removing the plank from your own eye. Even with the plank in your eye, for some reason, it is still easier to see specks in other people. But that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. Some people would say this. Some people would say, my home gets better if they were to be different. My husband would be better if he would be different. My wife would be better if they were different. And we want to try to control them or change them to be somebody that they're not. But almost never does this idea that my life would be better if they, almost never does that statement ever work. Almost never. So don't focus on small things in others. If you need to change your world, then change your world in you. If you need to change your home, start changing you in your home. If you don't like your workplace and you would say, my workplace would be so much better if only they, then you need to change you in that workplace. Take the plank out of your own eye and stop focusing on the speck of somebody else's eye. And the third thing is this, is don't control others with a pattern of criticism. Listen to me closely. Don't control others with the pattern of criticism. Controlling others by constant criticism, correcting, shaming, in order for them to become somebody else is wrong. And it sounds like this. You always, you never, and you're telling them they're not good enough, and you're assuming their motives. You're assuming that their actions are equal to their essence. But that is not true. We are not to judge in this way. So controlling others by this constant reminder that you need corrected, you need criticized, you need to be shamed, and then hopefully maybe you'll be somebody different that I can then accept is just damaging to how we relate to one another. So, and how bad is this strategy? How bad is this strategy? Let me make you feel like garbage. And if I make you feel like garbage enough, then you might be willing to change. Come on, absolutely not. Nobody ever makes real life change, real relational change, because you make them feel like garbage, because you criticize, because you overwhelm them and you manipulate them. That is never going to bring change. And if you find yourself in a situation like that, you know what you need to do? You need to look within the plank in your own eye. And you need to remove it. You need to remove it. Here's my last statement for you today. If you have to get what you need through judgment, there's something missing in you. If you have to get what you need through judgment, then there's seriously something missing in you. Now, I told you, this message, these words of Jesus today, they're his words, not mine. And I understand that these step on all of our toes. But this is a serious matter in how we relate to one another and to stop passing judgment on others. Stop assuming somebody's motive. Stop the over-criticizing. Being overly critical, over-correcting other people to try to make them who you think they need to be. Because that is all about taking their actions and assuming their essence. But that is not what Jesus does. when Jesus encountered the woman at the well, he saw something that nobody else saw. Everybody else saw her for all of her mistakes and all of her failures. Everyone else saw her for the fact that she had five husbands. She's currently living with a guy, and she even believed that she wasn't enough. But Jesus saw her, and he gave her a drink of water. Someone in whom a Jewish rabbi should have never been talking to. A Jewish rabbi should never talk to a woman, should never be seen with a Samaritan woman. But yet he saw that she still had an essence, that she was the daughter of the Most High God. So friend, today, I challenge you to take responsibility to give mercy instead of judgment. Today, I challenge you to take responsibility to change your world and stop trying to change everybody in your world. There's a big difference there. And if we can do that, then we will be a community of people where judgment is suppressed and people can live in greater freedom and we can relate better with one another. So there's a remedy for you. If maybe you're someone who's stuck in this pattern of criticism, control, shaming other people, or maybe you feel like you're stuck on the receiving end of criticism, whatever it is, today, if you're stuck in that cycle, you can repent of criticism, control, and you can take action and to look within, and you can begin to win in how you relate to one another. So stop passing judgment on one another. It does not belong in the church, and it does not belong in the life of a follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the best dad that I've ever had. God, we thank you that you came to take the judgment so that we could have mercy. I pray today for those that are in a cycle of being judged. God, I pray that they would be free. I pray that they would know that regardless of what other people tell them, that's not who they are. But their essence is found that they are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And God, I pray for all of us. We all have had a pattern of judgment in our lives, in the way we respond to one another, the way we respond to people at work, the way we respond to our family, in our marriages, with our children, with our friends, whatever it may be. God, would you help us to now today repent of this pattern of behavior, that we would give all of the judgment to you because you paid for it, and we would receive the mercy for ourselves so that we can have a better understanding of how to give mercy away. And I pray this for New Life Church. I pray this for every single person, every friend, every distant person who's watching this today, God, that they would be able to receive your mercy today and escape from judgment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us in our online experience today. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. If you want to stay connected with us, if you made a decision for Christ today or you have a prayer request, feel free to shoot us a text. Text the word CONNECT to 765-347-9127. There you can connect with us if you have a prayer need, made a decision for Jesus today, or whatever you may need can be done at that textable phone number. We also want to remind you of the ways for you to give financially to the ministry. You can mail in your tithe and offering to here to the church, or you can use the website newlifeforkokomo.org, or you can also text to give New Life for Kokomo at 77977. We love you. We are praying for you. We miss you. And please know that we are praying for you every single day until we can meet again. We love you.